Blog Talk Radio.
Come on.
I'm your host tonight, Leslie Bishop Joe, and we're on the countdown. We're with one more week ahead, and so glad and grateful to God for what He has done, is doing, and is going to continue to do in my life and in yours. Amen? So let's just look to Him now as we begin to go forward for tonight. God, please let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh God, you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, we're here tonight for part two of something that we started last week. We started last week talking about the characteristics of the sent ones. And if you remember, we talked about several things last week, and we got a chance to explore many scriptures. And we talked about the fact that Jesus was sent, but He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. I'm sure you can remember some of the things that we talked about. We certainly talked about the fact that a prophet is not without honor, except in his own country and among his own kin, and that still applies today. And so that's one of those things that those who are sent by God just have to realize, that sometimes it's hardest among those whom we know best, and those, I should say, who think they know us best. Sometimes it makes it a bit harder. And we'll talk about some of the reasons why. But we do know that Hebrews 5 and 8 lets us know that Jesus learned obedience through the things that He suffered. And we talked about that not only meaning like physical suffering or anything of that nature, but the scripture telling us about the fact that as those who are God's own, we will suffer persecution because of His name. It's because of His name. So when we're suffering persecution because of the cause of Christ, because of the name of Christ, because of the anointing of the Lord that is upon our lives, then we can be happy about that. We can rejoice in that because it's not about us, you know, and the enemy knows who you are. He knows who you are. We talked about the fact that Romans 12 and 11 gives us to know that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. I don't overcome by the word of your testimony. I may be encouraged by it, but I don't overcome by the word of your testimony. I overcome by the word of my testimony, because if I have a testimony, that means I must have had to have gone through something. I must have had tests and trials that helped me to understand and realize who God is. It's those tests and trials that help us to know God's faithfulness, know the character of God, and know that he will be with us. He'll never forsake us. You know, he'll come through for us and avenge us. He'll provide for us, all of those things. So we learn the character of God, you know, as we become more and more acquainted with him. So we then have a testimony based upon the tests that we and the trials that we have had to endure. And so when we do that, that's why the scriptures let us know that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Thank God for having a testimony, because that's something that no one can take from us. Amen? Nobody can take that from you. You know, once the Lord has blessed you with a testimony, that means you've come through something, and nobody can refute it. And I think that's an awesome thing that we can go through and we realize our story is our story. It's ours alone. And that's going to be the case for anybody who's sent of God. So just know that if God has sent you, there's going to be something that God is requiring, you know, you to go through, for you to endure, and it's all right. Oh, yeah, it's all right. God's going to bring you through. God's going to bring you out. So then tonight we are, as I said, doing a part two. We started last week, and that has to do with God sending us, God's sent ones. Amen? So we want to go on with that on tonight. And what I want to bring to your attention is the fact that there's a desire, there's a dream, there's a vision that perhaps you're experiencing, and it's not going to go away because it's something that was established before the foundation of the world, and God is just waiting for a complete yes, so that what it is that he has established within you and has ordained for you to do can be fulfilled in the earth. I'm looking at a scripture right now that I want to call your attention to. It's Philippians 2 and 13, and it says that, I'm paraphrasing, it's God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And I'm sure that you're familiar with that. And I began to ponder this scripture actually yesterday and last night. He works in us both to will and to do. So it's he that works in us then to have a desire, to have a made up mind to do. So in other words, you come to the point where you say, I will do what the Lord has called me to do. He works in us both the will, I will, and to do. And then we finally say, I want to do what it is that the Lord would have me to do. And so it's God who works that in us, you know, not only to want to, but we will do what it is, his good pleasure, what it is that pleases him. And I think it's a wonderful thing when we get to that point where we surrender to the fact that it's God who's working that in us, both to will and to do. It's one thing you've surely dealt with people all the time who tell you what they will do, they will do, they will do, but they never do anything. But God works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So it's God then who gives us the want to. But it's also God who gives us the ability to do what pleases him. And so to me, that sounds like a win-win. Amen. We want to desire what God desires. We want to desire what pleases him. These are the sent ones. The sent ones are the ones who said, yes, God, I will to do your will. That's my desire now. And not only is it my desire, but I'll do it. I want to do what pleases you. You know, my only responsibility is to be the tool, the conduit through which God can work. Oh, yes. You know, he can work his will. He can work his good pleasure. And we can see to it that it's carried out in us. you know, as we say yes to him. So we're dealing tonight with that part two, because all of this has to do with the characteristics of the sent ones. So that was our first scripture, Philippians 2:13. He's going to work in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, I want to call your attention to the fact that we didn't choose him. He chose us. And that's something that I think we need to revisit often. You know, that God chose us. We didn't choose him. So really, when we think about the fact that God has chosen us and just the fact that he desires to use us, I mean, to me, that's magnificent. Why would God even consider us? And Scripture, you know, says something to that order. What is man that you're even mindful of him? But Ephesians 1 and 4 gives us to know that he chose us in him before the creation of the world. Think about that. Even before the world was created, God chose you to be holy, to be blameless in his sight. He chose you in love, or one translation says he chose you without fault in his eyes, that we would be holy, you know, that we would live blameless before him because we're covered by the blood of Christ. Now, I'm taking my time on this tonight because I want to give that as a foundation. First of all, you're one of the sent ones, and it's because God has chosen you. God has chosen us even before the creation or the foundation of the world. That is something to really ponder. You want to meditate on something tonight? Meditate on that. It's not that we did anything that was so great. It wasn't that we impressed God in some kind of way. It wasn't that God looked and saw us and said, you know what, you know, that's such a good child. I'm going to bless him. I'm going to bless her. I'm going to choose them. No, God chose us before the creation of the world, and he had a plan. His plan was to for us to be holy and blameless in his sight. And not only that, that's Ephesians 1 and 4, but not only that, the scripture goes to tell us that he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, that's the verse before that one, before verse 4, is verse 3. And the scripture says, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. He's done this. He's already predestined that we would be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ to himself. Now, you can go and read tonight, perhaps, in Ephesians 1. I love reading there. And Ephesians 3:20 is my favorite scripture, which we'll get to in just a little bit. But I wanted to share with you, in terms of this part two, characteristics of the sent ones, is for, first of all, for you and for I to understand that we've already been chosen. God chose us. We didn't choose him. We just responded to his choice, to his call. So you've been called. You've been chosen, you've been sent. We sometimes wrestle with that, and I'm going to tell you why. A big part of that is because we wait on man, we wait on men to give us permission to do what God has called and ordained us to do. You know, rather than going back and checking it with God, we wait on men to give us the okay to do it. God has chosen us. God is going to equip us, and he wants us to understand that at the very least, he has given all of us the ministry of reconciliation, because somebody perhaps tonight or whenever they listen to this podcast, they'll be thinking, but I don't believe God has called me. I don't know what the call of God is, and I think I've told you this many times before in 2 Corinthians 5:18. It lets us know that we are all ministers of reconciliation. Well, what does that mean? That means that we are to be about kingdom business, and that is getting men and women back to their original place in God, which is that place that God ordained for us to be, that we would live in him and that we would bring glory to him. This is why he created man, that we would bring glory to him, you know, that we would be his workmanship in the earth. He created us for himself without fault, without flaw. But it's sin that has separated us from God. but we're to reconcile, work to be ministers of reconciliation, 2 Corinthians 5:18, bringing men and women, boys and girls, back into right standing with the Lord. So at the very least, while you mark time or whatever it is you're doing to figure out what God wants you to do, just know that you have the call on your life for that. Whatever else we find ourselves doing, whatever else we believe God has called us to do, he has called each of his children whom he has sent from himself to be ministers of reconciliation. That's what a disciple does. They go out and they create disciples. They bring others to Christ, reconciling men and women unto God. That's who we are, ministers of reconciliation. So the sent ones, characteristic, we understand that we've been called and that we've been sent. We understand that God chose us before the foundation of the world, that we didn't choose him, but he chose us. And we recognize that this call that God has upon us is bigger than anything that we could produce. It's greater than anything that we could produce in and of ourselves. The sent ones I'm talking about. We have to have this understanding, because when we're sent forth to do a work for the Lord, we have this inclination to resist the call. And it's natural to do that because it comes from our frame of reference. Our resistance comes from our frame of reference of what we know about ourselves. You know what I'm saying? You know your failures better than anybody else. You know your shortcomings better than anybody else. I certainly know mine. Many people, well, not many people, but some may know about some shortcomings that I have. Certainly my sisters who grew up with me, there's some who think they may know about my shortcomings but don't really know me. You know what I'm saying? And so, and it's the same way with you. But see, we have a frame of reference for our shortcomings or what we see as shortcomings. And it may not be that way in God's eyes at all, at all. But I'm saying that's our frame of reference. So it causes us then to sometimes be resistant to the call of God because we think about who we were before we came to Christ. We think about who we were before we came to realize that God was calling us, that God wanted to send us, that God wanted to use us. And so we think about that. Oh, surely he can't want to use me. It can't be that God chooses to use me. I fall so short of his glory. And even Paul felt that way. He said that he was chief of all the sinners, and yet God used him. As we've talked about many times, we have the majority of our New Testament because of his writings. And so God used him in a great way, in spite of himself. So we have to recognize then that the call is greater than we are, and it's greater than anything that we are in and of ourselves able to produce. And that brings us to that scripture that I told you is my favorite one. And it says that Ephesians 3:20 lets us know that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we're able to ask or think. King James Version says exceeding abundantly above. The New Living Translation, or the NIV rather, says exceedingly abundantly above. So he's able, regardless to which one of those you use, to do far above anything that you can ask, you and I could ask, or anything that we could even conceive in our minds. He's able to do greater than that. Isn't that wonderful? But it's something that the sent one must understand. It has to be a part of our foundation when we are making up our minds to do what it is that God has called us to do. We must have a made-up mind that he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we're able to ask or think. And then we'll think greater. We'll think bigger. We'll ask greater. We'll pray greater. Because we know our God is able to do even greater and far beyond all that we're able to ask or think. You know, just think about what your thoughts have been this day. What have you thought about? Have you thought about issues that you're dealing with in your life? Have you thought about how people around you are treating you or not paying attention to you? Whatever the case may be. But God is saying you got to go beyond that. go outside of yourself and go to kingdom thinking. What is on God's mind right now? He wants to share with us his mind, his heart, you know, and then those things of the earth somehow become very, very dim, and it doesn't matter so much about the things that are, you know, around us or the people per se and those relationships around us. And I'm not saying relationships aren't important. They're very important, but I'm saying they cannot outweigh what it is that God has placed in our heart and our spirit to do, because that's kingdom work. That's kingdom business. And so he works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Share that with you. But he's always able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now, how does that happen within us, knowing who we are? Well, do you remember the scripture that was shared with you about the Lord saying at the end of the book of Mark, chapter 16 and 15, when he sent the disciples out, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, what he did at that time, he sent them forth and he gave them the power to do any and everything that it was that he had called them to do. They had to understand that God had empowered them. You know, he had called them, he was sending them, but he had also already empowered them. And the thing about it is, he told them to go. They went out. Mark 16 and 20 tells us they preached everywhere. But look at what happened. The Lord worked with them. The Lord worked with them and confirmed his word. How? With signs following. And we've talked about that many times. He accompanied what they shared with signs, with the power of God, with the anointing of God. He confirmed what they said. And God will always confirm his word. He just wants you and I to be full of the word. Speak the word. When you don't know what else to say, when you don't have the answer to a situation, Jesus will give a word. He always gives a word in season. And his word is spirit, and his word is life. And so the scriptures say they went out and they preached everywhere. Now, when we say preach, we have a certain thing that comes to mind. When we talk about they preached everywhere, generally we're talking and thinking about somebody standing in a pulpit somewhere. But here, the scripture would give us to know that it's about proclaiming the truth of God. They proclaimed Christ everywhere they went. And when we learn to do that, when we become the living oracle of God, you know, that word of God being alive within us, then God begins to confirm that word with signs following. Because, see, we can't, you know, rely on the fact that man hasn't given us a paper that says you're a preacher. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about those who are the sent ones. They're going forth. They're disciples of Christ. And the Lord has put a word in your mouth. And that's what he'll do for his disciples, because it's a word that draws. It's the Spirit of God through the word that draws people unto himself. We don't have anything to bring to people. They don't need an experience with us. They certainly need an experience with the living God. And that's what we take to them. That's who we are. As ministers of reconciliation, we're taking to them a true and a living God. You know, we're taking to them a lifestyle. We're sharing with them the opportunity for relationship, not religion. We go and help people to be loosed from the confines of religion that says you cannot operate here or there, you cannot do this unless this person says you can and unless they give you your marching orders to go. Christ has come to set us free. Free from what? Free from all type of bondage. Free from religion and tradition. And free to operate in relationship with him. Because so much that we do is not based on freedom in relationship to Christ. It's really based in traditions of men as it pertains to a religious lifestyle. And all traditions are not bad, so don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But I'm saying if that tradition keeps us from giving God a complete yes and trusting God to do what he said he would do in and through our lives, then the tradition has come up against the true and the living God, and it cannot stand. You know, it's hard to kick against the prick. God had to let Paul know that. You know, he didn't realize that as he persecuted the church, he was following the dictates of men and the traditions of men, he was really kicking against the prick, and there was no way that he could win, kicking against the word of God and the truth of God. So it's that way with us. The sent ones, we have to understand that always, always we declare the word of God. That's our strength. That's the power. And you have, and I have, the anointing of God operating in our lives, which seals us and which confirms what God has done. It's not papers that people will give us that confirms the call on our lives. The anointing of God comes before any appointment, comes before any ordination that you might get. It's the anointing of God. Those things only come to confirm. You and I, if we think about it, will be operating in an anointing before anybody recognizes what call it is that's on your life. That's generally how it's identified, is this because the anointing of God is recognized on your life. What I'm saying is this. What if you were in a situation where nobody could ordain you as an evangelist? What I'm saying is the anointing of God upon your life, if you truly have an evangelistic call, you would do the work of an evangelist, whether anybody gave you paper or not, because it's in your spirit to do it. That's the anointing that rests upon you. You know, you'll help to start up other ministries and things of that nature if God has put an apostolic anointing upon your life. Whether anybody ever calls you that or gives you a paper that says you can do that, you have the anointing of God to do that. And so the scripture that we shared earlier, that God works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure, we have to understand that that's what he expects, is that if we want to do his good pleasure, just know that he's going to work in us both the will to do it and then the ability to do it. If we'll just say, I'll do it, Lord, I'll do it. You already have the authority. Jesus has given the authority when he said, go and preach this gospel, go and make disciples. You know, when the word of God was written, the Spirit of God knew that for generations and generations, men and women would read that. And that's why the scripture tells us about the three that bear record in heaven, three that bear record in the earth, and talks about the fact that the Spirit of God, see, people want to say the Holy Ghost is not for us, but he is. The scriptures say he's given to as many as the Lord our God shall call. And God is still calling. And God is still sending. And so the Spirit of God, who helped to write the word is God breathed, it is spirit, and it is life. The word of God then is living, and it's sharp, and it's powerful. The Spirit knew when these words hit the page that they would go from generation to generation, century to century, and that men and women, even today, and when you and I have gone on, we'll be reading this word, and the word is still just as alive as it was when Paul was penning those letters. It's still just as alive. It still has the potency. It still has the power. Why? Because God breathed it. So when he sent them out to preach, when he said, go and make disciples of all men, go, that sending forth is just as powerful today as it was then. He says, I've called you to be my disciples, go. And the scripture says that they preached everywhere, the Lord working through them, confirming what they said with signs following. And he's going to do that for you and for me. He never took that back. All he's waiting for is for those of us, the sent ones, to realize that he's with us, and to realize all of these things that I've shared with you tonight. The call is greater than we are. You know, God is waiting for our total yes. We already have the authority, and we're going in his name. We don't wait for permission from others, because the anointing upon you will not wait. There's an anointing on your life. If you know Christ tonight, you know, it's deception of the enemy to say, I wish I was anointed. You are anointed. You're anointed to do a work for the Lord, because anyone that God calls, he qualifies. Anyone he qualifies, he justifies. And so when he calls us into the kingdom, there's kingdom business to be done, and you can't do it apart from the anointing. So there is an anointing on your life to do what God has called you to do, whatever that is. And that's why it is that we have to go back to him, because we know at the very least we're ministers of reconciliation, but there's more. And we have to seek God for that, because it came from him, and we want to give it back to him, because he's the one who works in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. What is his good pleasure? Well, we want to stop looking to men to find out what God's good pleasure is, because God alone knows what his good pleasure is for you. What does that mean? His good pleasure for you? Yes. What it is that pleases him to see you do, to see you be, to see you become. That's his good pleasure. And you see, it is his pleasure, his good pleasure, to give you the kingdom. But we have to come to him and recognize that he holds all of that. Our times are in his hands, and I'm so glad about that. So glad about that our times are in his hands. So don't sum up your life based on what you know, even what you know about you, because we are very limited, even in the knowledge of who we really are in Christ, because there's so much more. You remember that scripture? In Ephesians 3 and 20, he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we're able to ask or think. So my challenge to you tonight, as one of the sent ones, is to delve deeper into these scriptures, because they hold for us the characteristics of the sent ones. And certainly God wants us to operate from that vein, operate as who we really are, who he's called us to be, his sent ones. And I'm challenging you tonight to do just that. You know, walk as though God has sent you, because he has. Walk as though you have a message, because you do. You know, if you don't know what to say, just open your mouth. God has promised to fill it. You know, just don't try to fill it with your own wisdom, but open your mouth and believe God to speak for you. Ask God every day to cover your mind. God, cover my mind. Give me to think right. Give me what to say. Give me how to say it, Lord. And he's going to do that. God, help me to fulfill your assignment for this day. He's going to do that, bring you into contact with the people whom you need to connect with today. God's going to do that. Amen? So listen, we're so grateful that, again, you joined us on tonight. We're coming to you again next week for the final broadcast on next week on Monday evening. Listen, will you come and be with us at 7:30 p.m., bring somebody with you, 7:30 Eastern Standard Time. So we're looking forward to a great time. Pray for us as we go forward. Certainly it is our endeavor to do the will of the Lord, to do his good pleasure, find out what it is that pleases him. Amen. So God bless you wherever you are as you listen to this podcast. May the grace of God and the peace of God rest up on you, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.